Welcome to the Casey Coar Show, a celebration of words. I'm delighted to have back, for the third time, Lee Child. We'll be discussing Mr. Child's new novel, Bad Luck and Trouble, published by Delacorte. And first of all, Lee, welcome back to the show, and thanks for taking time to speak with us today.
No, thank you for the invitation back. It's always a pleasure.
I must say, this is the 11th Reacher novel, and I think this might be the best of the bunch. And I don't say that, I'm not subject to hyperbole, but I think there are elements of Bad Luck and Trouble which the fans of Reacher are really going to enjoy. And so it must be kind of, I'm hoping you're as excited as I am about Bad Luck and Trouble.
I mean, I'm always excited at this time of year when the new book is due out, and you know, it's not for me to say is it as good as, or better than, or worse than the others. That's up to the reader. You know, that's the magic of this trade, that it's the reader that creates the book in many ways. I write it, somebody reads it, then it exists, and the judgment of its quality is out there in the public domain, and I can't wait to see what people think of it.
Yeah, one of the things I really enjoy about it is that in Bad Luck and Trouble, Reacher, he goes back in time where he's working with a special investigation unit, which was 8 men and women, and we see Reacher working in more of a team environment as part of working with others versus the solitary existence that he often has in the books. And I think that's one of the things that really appealed to me as a fan of the series.
Yeah, because that's a very human feeling. As you rightly say, he's been a lone wolf in all the other 10 books. And this book is slightly different in that sense. It really came about that I was on tour a couple of years ago for One Shot, and I was doing an event near Chicago on June the 21st, 2005. And as I was giving the talk and signing the books, I was aware that that date, June 21st, it had some significance, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't readily recall what it was. You know, I started worrying, have I forgotten my anniversary? Am I going to be in trouble? Have I forgotten my wife's birthday? And it wasn't any of those things. It was actually the 10th anniversary of me losing my job, which led me to become a writer. And that number 10 is a very round number, and like most people, I started thinking about the old friends that I've been working with and, you know, my old colleagues. And I started to think, you know, where are they now? What are they doing? You know, are they doing well? Are they happy? What do they look like now? All those nostalgic thoughts that I think is very, very common to people. We all do that, I think, you know, about old jobs we've had, or high school, college, old towns that we've lived in and moved away from. So it seemed time to do a book that was based on a reunion. That's really the feel of this book. It's a reunion book. He goes back and works with these people that were incredibly important to him 10 years ago. And so he's not solitary in this book. And he's also not quite so self-confident in this book, because I think in that environment, you start to measure yourself against these guys that were his equals. Is he doing better than them? Is he doing worse? Did he make the right choices? Did they make the right choices? There's a little bit of subtext there about his, you know, what has he been doing all this time in comparison to what have they been doing?
Mm-hmm. And there's a great female character in Bad Luck and Trouble, Frances Negley.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is dedicated to the real Frances Negley. And in Bad Luck and Trouble, Reacher, he had served 13 years in the Army, in the military police, and he had worked with Frances Negley for 7 of those years. And the real life Frances Negley, is this just a friend of yours or someone that you came across?
She's actually a nurse from San Francisco, I believe, now retired. A big fan of this genre, of the mystery genre, a big supporter. And years ago, she bid in a charity auction to have her name as a character in one of my books, and she was in the 6th book, which is called Without Fail. Now she comes back in book number 11, just because, like you say, she's a great character. There's something mysterious about her. So I dedicated it to the real Frances Negley, because she's a real nice person, and inspired. She's doing all kind of volunteer work and charity work. If there were more people like her, we'd be a lot better off.
Yes. Yes. Good. That doesn't surprise me to hear that. And one of the things that I really like is that I'm 50, and so I understand that reflection on, you know, how did your friends do or people you used to work with. And it's really cool, the relationship. Reacher and Francis, they're like a well-tuned clock, that they go right back to the way they used to work together. And it's a really nice relationship they have, because the story, the plot, which we'll give none of away, is very intricate, and it really relies really that they've all maintained their skills that they originally counted on each other for, that they're still there.
That's right, and it also counts on the fact that they retain their trust and faith in one another in terms of teamwork. You know, this is no time to be worrying and second-guessing whether they're still up to it. And so, you know, that teamwork aspect was great to write. And also the way that people like that relate, you know, they keep the emotion well below the surface. And, in fact, they'll deny, you know, any great emotion for one another. They kind of joke about it in a dismissive way. But you can kind of, between the lines, you can read the tremendous affection that they have for one another.
Mm-hmm. And they're forced to make very difficult decisions. And when you originally came up with the concept of having Reacher being able to keep a clock in his head, that's ended up being was a brilliant move on your part, wasn't it, strategically for the rollout of the series. You've been able to use that very effectively in every book that you write.
Yeah, I mean, I'm keen to people think of Reacher as this big, rough, tough guy, which of course he is. But I also want to have another dimension there, which is that he has these little skills and enthusiasms and little pedantic obsessions going on about all kinds of things, language, time, mental arithmetic. He lives inside his head just as much as he lives with his muscles. And that comes through in this book. There's a lot of calculation in this book, because the only clue they have at the beginning is a really weird little piece of mental arithmetic. They have to figure everything out from five pages of numbers.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And Lee, there was a phrase that just jumped off the page at me when I read it, and it's just a few words, but to me it summed up a little bit of where Reacher was at in this new book. And it says that he was floating in a state of grace and torment. And I love the words there, but it did seem to me that we did see a little, like you say, a little more of the vulnerability of Reacher in Bad Luck and Trouble because of his because of the nature of the story you're telling.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that phrase too, and it just came to me. I'm not exactly sure what it means even, but it just seemed to sum up his mental state at that time, because I don't think it's giving too much away to say that the story involves bad things that have happened to very close friends of his. Therefore, this time it's very personal. And of course, taking revenge or capturing the bad guys will not bring anybody back to life. And I think that's kind of torment he was suffering. It's all very well to win, but winning actually does not achieve anything.
Mm-hmm. And another theme that it seemed to resonate in the book is there's the world we live in today is everyone is so filled with fear, and it seems that there's a contemplation of death that runs throughout the storyline, that is a fairly it's something that as a society we've always dealt with, but we're much more, I think we're much more fearful as a society today, post 9/11. And I like the way you kind of work that into all of the characters that are involved in the novel.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we do live in fear, and I think, in a sense, the only way to rid ourselves of that fear is to just not worry about it. And all these characters
Lee, as I was reading this this book, and we're discussing Bad Luck and Trouble, published by Delacorte, and also I'll mention that The Hard Way is now available in paperback, there are some ingenious ways that that Reacher and Francis Negley figure out ways to move the plot along. And I was wondering, as you're living your life and an idea pops into your head, do you have like a notebook that you carry around where you write ideas that you think might serve you down the road? Or do you pretty much, once you start the story, does that narration come to you as part of the writing process?
It's kind of both things at once. I mean, most of it is very organic, that if you start at the beginning, then usually the story will work itself out as you go along. But I do maintain a stock of ideas. You know, if something comes to me, I don't write it down in a notebook. I used to do that, but now what I do is I just figure if you don't remember it later, then it wasn't worth remembering. Mm-hmm. You know, the good ideas will stick with you, and then you can dip into that rag bag of ideas at any time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this this book has I'll put a little I'll warn people that the suspense and the pacing in this book is relentless, and I found that once I started reading it, I found it very difficult to put down. So I kind of warn people, don't start it at 11 o'clock at night if you have to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well, that's the plan, Casey. If I hear that people have stayed up too late and they're tired the next day, then I know it's working.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And Lee, what is it about Bad Luck and Trouble that now that you've everything's done, it's going to be in bookstores soon. What are you happiest about with the craft of the story, outside of the fact that we've talked about that Reacher is in has people around him? What else are you happy about with this book?
Well, I'm glad you said what you said about the pacing, because what I'm very satisfied with is it starts at the beginning and then it kind of accelerates relentlessly, but without an obvious kind of, you know, there's no obvious point at which it suddenly takes off. It just accelerates relentlessly throughout the whole book, gets faster and faster without any kind of precipitating events speeding anything up. It just does it by itself. Also, what I like is that the kind of almost like poker aspect at the end. You know, you've got to, there's something happens which is a major problem, and if they ignore it, it could be an even bigger problem. But they do; they double down, and you know, whatever suspense was there before is suddenly ratcheted sky high because now the stakes are incredible.
Yes, and I kept trying to figure out when I started. I kept trying to figure out where I was going to put my bookmark and stop, and I just I couldn't figure out where to do that. and Lee, with the success of the Reacher novels, I think that's really really cool that date came to you the way it did. As we age, we have so many different anniversaries and things that roll through our head. It becomes a bit overwhelming. And the Reacher character, I think one of the most fascinating aspects of the character is that I think out of the millions of people that have read the Reacher series, no one has the same mental image of what Jack Reacher looks like, and that's very rare. For a novelist to be able to accomplish, but you've taken great care, it seems to me, to not really give him a physical definition, so that the reader can create what he looks like in their own mind.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, we know some things about him. He's big. We know roughly. We infer roughly how old he must be, but he's pretty much a blank canvas, and that was deliberate because he's fundamentally a mythical character. He's the kind of lone stranger that shows up in literature all through the ages. The knight errant, you know, the mysterious loner who arrives out of nowhere to solve the problem. And as such, he's really a projection for our needs and our desires. And it is fascinating to me how people see him very differently. Some people think he's dark-haired.
So not only do you have the reading voice that you have in your mind, which we don't know where that comes from, but you have this mental image that you've created. So it really gives the reader the freedom to attach whatever physical characteristics they want to Reacher.
That's right, and that's kind of what I mean by the reader creates the story just as much as the writer. You know, it's their imagination is at work as well.
And we've discussed before the popularity of the Reacher series amongst females, and I really think that the female the women readers are really going to like Bad Luck and Trouble because of Frances Nagley and Carla Dixon are great characters, and that always surprises me that your readership is so predominantly women, because you would think in this series that would not be the case, but that continues to be the case, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, and it is a little bit of a surprise because on the surface these are guy books, you know, rough, tough action adventures, but they also turn heavily on loyalty and doing the right thing and a strong ethical sense and justice. And I've always found that women are very outraged by injustice. There's just something elemental about unfair situations that seem to upset women somewhat more than men. And therefore, in a Reacher book where something is unfair and he then makes it fair in a very dramatic fashion, I think women really get satisfaction from seeing somebody do the right thing.
And as we've also discussed before, there's the element of that Reacher is a safe fantasy as well, and you go you've never written a scene that involved an intimate relationship with Reacher that got very descriptive.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a matter of taste and style, and it's also, like we were talking about before, it's about leaving things to the reader's imagination. Mm-hmm. And Reacher is a very safe fantasy because he doesn't stick around. And I think we all, I mean, however much we don't want to admit it, we all have a speck in our heart for the idea of a stranger showing up, having a very brief, intense relationship, and then the stranger moves on and you know, he doesn't call, he doesn't write, he's no hassle, it's not a real-world problem afterwards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think people like to daydream about that kind of possibility.
Sure, sure. What's the status, Lee, on any film projects with Reacher? The last time we talked, you had, I know you had expressed that you were not interested in writing any of the screenplays at that point in time. Has there been anything that's heated up on the film side of the equation?
Yeah, it is heating up. I've spent a lot of this year so far talking to various people about it, and so it's heating up nicely, although it's not yet at the boil, and I don't think we'll see any actual cameras rolling this year, but I think we probably will within a year or two. It's just beginning to reach that tipping point where it's going to become inevitable, I think.
Good, good. Yeah, I mean, I would think if I were a Hollywood executive, I would look at Jack Reacher as being kind of a franchise, as like a James Bond type franchise, because there seems to be a little bit of a void in the market right now where I think a character like Reacher could have that multi-film impact that could be very successful as a franchise.
I think so too, and you know, I think we're heading that way. In a sense, you mentioned James Bond, and the new James Bond movie was you know, on the way to being a Reacher type story, you know, a very physical, realistic, much more gritty and real than the previous James Bond. And you know, if that's the way that taste is heading, then yeah, the Reacher franchise would fit the bill very well.
That's great. Well, I'm excited about the prospects of that, because I think that you have a built-in audience from the Reacher audience, and and I think it would just be a hit. So I'm glad to hear that that's progressing, and I know it's very dear to your heart, so I know you'll protect your baby as much as you can.
I will, although, you know, we just said that the idea that people can imagine Reacher any way they want is very important, but of course as soon as it's a movie, then an actor is forever associated with the character, so that will be a radical departure.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Lee, I want to congratulate you on Bad Luck and Trouble. I think it's, like I say, I think it's, if not the strongest, one of the strongest in the series. And I'm just so delighted that the series continues to expand internationally. And congratulations on another great book. And I look forward to having you back again next year when the next entree is out.
Well, that would be great, Casey. I really look forward to it, and thanks for your kind words, and thanks for your support.
Great. Well, enjoy this part of the year. I know this is when you do go to some awards things and do the publicity before you head into Reacher Land again. So enjoy this, hopefully what's turned into spring weather here.
Yeah, it's beautiful today, and you're right, I'm going to put on my suit and tie. I'm heading off to an awards dinner tonight.
Good. Well, thanks a lot, Lee, and we'll catch up with you again next year.
Thank you.